got a basketball jump, so baby, ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball jump. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball. And I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me.
Talk about a real close shave today. A game that is not indicative in terms of the way it was played as the game unfolded. Tony Basilio reporting you to you from the Raymere studio. Tennessee wins over Auburn today, 71-63. A magical day in Knoxville. Bruce Pearl comes home and doesn't have a triumphant return as the Volunteers win today, 71-63. Armani Moore was absolutely the most valuable player in the game today. Completely dominant performance today from Armani Moore in that basketball game for the Vols who win. And if you want to get in with us today as we celebrate the game, 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. Tennessee today, the recipient of, well, first of all, let's just say this. It's great to get out of there with a win. Secondly, Tennessee's mystifying trend at home of coming out without any life, for whatever reason this year, continues. They came out in this game early on. We're getting beaten down the court. We're getting beaten to loose balls. We're just didn't look good first 8-10 minutes of the game. And then they were spurred on the controversy seemed to help this team today. The controversial plays. The officiating in today's game was absolutely abysmal. And as somebody who's a longtime observer of college basketball told me and is familiar with these officiating crews, they said that the league sent a C-grade crew in to do that game today. Not an A-grade crew, not a B-grade crew, but a C-level, a C-grade crew in to do that game. And that was early on. And I've got to tell you, that's exactly what we got. We got some C-level officiating, and they about lost control of that basketball game today. Those officials came pretty damn close to losing control of that game. But as it was, Tennessee victorious today, and Armani Moore with an all-time performance in Knoxville today. Absolutely all-time performance from Armani Moore today in that game. Incredible performance by him. Tennessee today in the basketball game, if you look at the numbers, just an incredible, incredible game. Armani Moore had 19 points in the game, 7 of 13 from the field, 5 of 6 from the line, 13 rebounds, 13 rebounds in the game. Leads the team in both scoring and rebounding and was all over the floor. Not to mention two huge blocks in the game. Tennessee for the afternoon sees Auburn shoot 44% to their 41%. Tennessee made 20 of 29 field goals, while Auburn made 20 of 45. Tennessee shot only 26% from three-point land. Auburn shot 44% from three-point land in the loss. The Vols were 5 of 19 from three-point land, while Auburn was a scintillating 8 of 18 from behind the arc. Tennessee on the day was 26 of 31 from the foul line. Auburn 15 of 22. Tennessee turns the ball over 13 times. Auburn turns it over 18 times. A huge key in the game. Huge key in the game. Tennessee out-rebounds Auburn today 34-26, including several second chance points in the decisive final 8 minutes of the game. Tennessee had several possessions where they were able to stretch it out, run some more clock, and thus get out of there with a relatively comfortable win when it looked like it was going to be nail-biting city down the stretch. Tennessee with 22 points in the paint as they made a decision to post up Armani Moore some, and it worked. It worked. We've been calling for that all year. Some have. And it worked. Tennessee with 7 steals on the day to Auburn's 4. Bruce Pearl, when he looks at these numbers, is going to realize something. His team lost today not only because they couldn't execute down the stretch, and they're just not a very high IQ basketball team. I was telling you that this week. I didn't like the matchup.
in this game. But I also didn't like the fact that they're just not... The thing I liked about this game is Auburn's just not real bright. I don't know any other way to put it. And I'm not a sugarcoater. They just don't play... This group here doesn't play a real smart game of basketball. And so Tennessee now walks out of this game with Mississippi State Tuesday night in the arena, a 13-7 record, which is very respectable this time of the year, 5-3 in the league. Full disclosure, I wasn't at the game today. I want you to be my eyes and ears. Tell me what it was like. Tell me what the environment was like. All the big guns were there. Butch Jones was trying to smile while with the students. He doesn't have that in him. You know what I mean? He's just not that guy. But he was trying to smile down there. It was good to see him mixing up with the students so they could get the photo op. Tennessee now 5-3 in the league. Tuesday night, a chance to pick up win number 14. And then from there, you can get to 6-3, you'll have 9 league games left. And if you get 4 of them, you can put yourself in a position to hear your name called on that Sunday. If you can just get 4 wins the rest of the way after Tuesday night. This team has given us all they have. Josh Richardson is one tough hombre. I tip my cap to Auburn today. Auburn played well. For who they are, they played well today. They had a good scout against Tennessee. And until they do what they do, which is to say the final 10 minutes, they had us on the ropes there for a while. Let's go to the phones and see if you concur. Let me bring in my partner here on your Smart Way. Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime. Let me bring in Keith Hatfield. Keith, good afternoon to you. Appreciate you being there. You fresh out of the arena. Give me your first thoughts, and then we'll go to the phones.
I thought Tennessee played, well, with the exception of a couple of loose possessions after it was 67-59, I thought Tennessee played the last 8 minutes the way you have to play a close game and made the plays they had to come out on top. I mean, there's some things earlier in the game. I mean, running away from guys like Casey Ross Miller and leaving KT Harrell open is not exactly the brightest basketball in the world, but I don't think anybody expected 88 Princeton versus 87 Indiana out
right
there today. So no great surprise. There were some plays today on both sides that really made you wonder how much basketball the guys on the floor had played.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, these are two teams that will make you scratch your head. And that's why both teams, Keith, are prone to having those long stretches where they go through scoreless spells. The two big plays, the two huge, huge calls in the game, Reed gets called with two technicals. On television, they were saying that in the first half, it should have been a double technical, that Reed was actually pushed from behind by Josh Richardson, which precipitated him picking up his technical. The second one was assault on a basketball court. There is no place for that in organized basketball, Keith, at any level.
Well, there's a reason Maryland chose not to admit a guy that's 7 feet tall and runs the floor really well.
Yeah, I think he's got a assault too on a cop, right? In his past?
Yes. That's how we ended up at Auburn instead of Maryland.
And that's what you do. You try and put your team together. You take chances. You get guys. Hey, Tennessee did that. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. But Tennessee had to do that this offseason with the Woodson kid. It didn't work out with him. Not saying that he's got a rap sheet, but this thing here, that shot there on Armani Moore. Keith, what about Armani Moore's play today? What an amazing effort by him under pressure.
Well, they didn't have anybody strong enough to guard him in the post other than Bowers, and Bowers is nowhere quick enough
right
to guard him. So I think Tennessee did a good job of recognizing that mismatch, and they went to it over and over. I mean, Armani he ended up, what, I think you said 7 for 13 from the field?
Yes, he did.
And there were probably three of those were, that were just missed layups, so he could have easily added another 6 on top of what he scored anyway. I think you'd be the first one to say that he missed at least 3 really easy shots.
Kevin Punter, Keith, continues his trend. He's 3 of 4 from behind the arc. It seems like in any game, this guy can throw out the dagger. He hits timely shots.
Well, Kevin Punter is probably my, other than Josh Richardson, Kevin Punter is my favorite guy on this team.
I love
Kevin Kevin Punter could play for anybody in the country.
I agree with that.
Now, he'd be the 7th or 8th guy on really good teams, but there's not a team in the country Kevin Punter wouldn't be getting minutes for.
Totally agree with that. We're on singing on the same song, and we're on the same songbook, and the reason we are is Jerry Glanville, who joins me from time to time, after he went to a game with my friend B-Ball Lee, Jerry came on the program a couple days later and said, this punter guy, he said, any sport, any coach, any place, any how, any who, anybody would take him. Anybody.
No, because he's always going full speed.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about him taking a play off. And on a team that I don't think it's insulting to say, is a little challenge in the basketball IQ department. I mean, he and Josh are the two guys that kind of hold it together.
Totally agreed. To the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Keith in the building, Bruce Pearl Day. Did he eclipse the event? Was it properly done? Was it a footnote? What did we do for him inside the building and other people that were there? I want to hear.
I saw nothing done on UT's behalf, really, that was anything to indicate he was anything other than the opposing coach. I thought the crowd gave him a nice ovation when he came out initially.
No tribute video?
No.
Really?
I would have been rather surprised if that happened, Tony.
No tribute video?
No, and I'm all week people. Or if they did, they played it before 11:15.
So from 45 minutes before the game into the start of the game, no tribute video?
No.
Let's go to the phones. That's interesting. 865-200-5402. If you're making your way from Thompson Bowling, I'd love to hear from you today. At 865-200-5402. Tennessee wins today over Auburn. The line was 9 coming in. Tennessee wins by 8, 71-63. So if you bet on the Vols, you may have lost today, depending on when you caught it. But the important thing is Tennessee's 13-7 now overall, 5-3 in the league. And as Bino said last week, this game here, really, at the end of the day, is the one everybody wanted, and now we can go like this.
Well, I agree.
I thought one of the
highlights of the day was Tony Jones' salmon-colored jacket.
So next level. And it was salmon collar.
Because, you know, salmon has so much to do with either of Auburn's primary colors or anything else.
He looked like he was wearing some of the fabric from Aretha Franklin's 84 Freeway of Love in my pink Cadillac video
I was waiting for him to play Buffett, play drums in the Coral Reefer Band or something.
Tony, where did you get that coat? Don't let go the coat. Where did you get that coat, Tony Jones?
Well, and our man Stephen Pearl apparently jumped into Whoopi Gold's gym's.
What is Stephen Pearl doing with a coat that's 7 sizes too? He's wearing Geronimals over there. He had that suit on for his 14th. He was bar mitzvah when he was 14 years old.
I think he's trying to audition for, if they make a Transporter remake, I think is what he's going for with the cheesy beard and the jack and the too small jacket.
Let's go back to the phones. By the way, Lambert, I found out, Lambert was warm. Pat Murray, WBIR, just tweeting a moment ago, Stephen Pearl was literally crying on Bruce's shoulder outside the Auburn locker room after the game. He was overcome with emotion. Lambert screamed at Stephen Pearl. Wait a second.
What are you talking about, Lambert?
Lambert screamed at Stephen Pearl, according to one of my sources, who was near that bench the entire time, kept yelling at him to get off daddy's coattails. Chapman was screaming at him. Lambert screamed at him the entire time. That's disgraceful behavior by Lambert. Let's go to the phones. That's my official tone. Now, unofficially, I'll tell you what I really feel here in a second. But right now, for those joining, I have an official tone, and then we'll have an unofficial tone here in about an hour. Let's go to the phones and go back to our busy, busy phones, and let's grab our first call tonight on your Smartway Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. A tremendous day to be a Tennessee volunteer. Hello and welcome.
Yeah, man, this is JJ, also Fake PR, Rod.
Hey, JJ, what's up, man? Talk to me.
Hey, you're talking about 1984. You seen VCU's number one out there on the court? You got the Brace Jones Slave to the Rhythm haircut, brother.
I love the VCU game. There are Kiss imitators sitting on the baseline right now. It is, and they're in full Kiss regalia. They look like they did up in Pontiac High School when they took Pontiac High School over back in the day.
Hey, Tony, there were a couple of coach imitators on the Auburn bench today.
That's not real kind.
That the pink blazer, I'm also thinking Billy Ocean, get out of my dreams.
Yes.
Get into my coaching staff with Tony Jones.
Tony Jones's get up today was so outstanding.
That was like some Song and Son circa 1992 K Street.
Song and Son.
You know who else he looked like?
On a 50 Cent hot dog.
You know who else he looked like, JJ? He looked like one of the busboys from that Eddie Murphy movie.
Yes. Yes. And he gives a shout out to the busboys on his either Raw or Delirious, talking about they get a lot of you-know-what. Anyway, man, Armani Moore, you know, this was a game that I was dreading because it totally, anyone that's been paying attention as a UT fan knows that this is the proverbial get your cup on moment.
No question.
You know?
I knew we were losing. I knew we were losing today.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew we were losing. I knew it.
And when we go up by four at halftime, and it should have at least been a 6-point lead going into half, and yet you're like, how in the world are we winning this game at home against a more mediocre team than we are? And then we come out of halftime and we go down, like it's an 11-4 run by Auburn. And Auburn's hitting timely threes, and we can't. Our runs are like my straight pull game. I might get three or four in a row, and then I'm, you know, my hands start trembling, and I'm going to scratch or, you know, miss an easy shot or something. And it's like this Tennessee offense, they were making me age more than arguing with my wife and DirecTV. I mean, it was ridiculous. And so the coaching staff, I think, canceled each other out. And basically, we won because we had better players. And Josh Richardson is kind of like my Richardson is like my Chris Lofton. He's everyone's golden boy. You can't not like him. But Punter and Moore are like my Juwan Smith and Dane Bradshaw. And without those guys, and Moore, the way he got up and hung his grill on the free throw line, that was Juwan Smith-esque if I've ever seen it.
That, and I shot out a tweet of that. I don't know if you saw it, but I got the still. I went back and rewound the clock and got the still. And, man, that was an incredible putback. What a tremendous athlete. Absolutely tremendous athlete.
And that putback, he was like damn George Gervin in the 1977. I mean, he paused while his elbow was above the rim, and I think he picked up a dollar on top of the backboard and made change, put back 50 cents, and then put another 50 cents, two case quarters, put it in his pocket, and then came down with authority. And I'm like, where is that is the whole year, man.
A lot of fun. A really fun game today. So glad to get out of there with a win. What a relief. You talk about just something that's literally a relief. Oh, boy. Bruce Pearl, and I quote, "I was disappointed we weren't able to finish. Tennessee's very athletic." He said he was glad it was an early tip so he didn't have to think about his return all day. As he's meeting the media right now. Hey, I'll tell you what, Hatfield, Pearl did a nice job today. They had him in a position to win that game with 10 to go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got a team, Tony, that the whole does not equal the sum of the parts. I mean, he's got some guys that, if you put them on other teams, would be really good, but you can't play all those guys together.
Yep. And I'll tell you something else, JJ. This basketball team, they got some dog in them. They got some dog. Amani Moore's got some dog in him.
I thought Big Will and Devin Young and TK came into the locker room, you know, before the game and told them to show some dog.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this team does have dog, and that's one, you know, that's a redeeming quality, even though they play kind of brain dead. You know, case in point, I mean, the fact that punter is so good, but yet he's got Reese, you know, trying to out shoot him from behind the line. And I'm like, why is punter, you know, if we're going to jack up threes, let's at least get the top, I don't know, five or six shooters shooting the ball instead of Reese, but at least he's not scared. I mean, they're going to give it to him, and
he's not afraid.
And he's at least a little bit unconscious, which is what you need.
Absolutely. Now, he does shoot a knuckleball. It looks like I'm waiting for Phil Negro to come off the bench and sharpen his nails over there when he lets the ball go. That thing moves like 18 inches in the air. But, JJ, thank you. Down in the mid-state. Hey, pretty good TR. Give me a little TR on the way out.
Okay, I mean, Carol Lawson and
Gosh. What's the matter with you people? By the way, Keith, go ahead.
You think Derek Reese has ever figured out why he's left open?
I'll tell you what, though. He is kind of emblematic of this team because as maddening as they are, they play so hard, it's hard to fault them. He plays so hard, it is hard to fault him. He is what he is. We are what we are. Yeah, you can't get angry with a guy that plays that hard. You can't get angry about it. Let's go to the phones today. Back to our phones. And by the way, Robert Hubbs is another one that I'm growing to love. Robert Hubbs today made a real nice play in a couple plays where he wasn't shooting the ball like himself, but he followed his own shot a couple times, hustled, kept some balls alive. Hubbs has become a nice player under Donnie Tindall. He is getting it. He's starting to get it. Back to the phones we go. I feel so good and relieved for Donnie Tindall today. Oh my gosh. Was this team tight coming out of the tunnel? Back to the phones we go. Let's grab our next call. Is NC State just hit a 25-footer with a second left to beat Georgia Tech 81-80. Back to our phones we go. Let's grab another call. Hello and welcome, Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, hey, welcome. Who's this?
Hey, Trey in Chi-Town. How you doing?
Hey, man, great talk to you today.
Yeah, you too. So just a few observations. I think I'm not a Pearlinista, but I was in school during the whole, you know, while Pearl was coach. And, you know, I really think that a video is the least we could do for him. You know, I've moved on. I think today I finally 100% moved on from Bruce Pearl. But it's, you know, you think of everything he did for us. I don't know who's behind that, the admin, the AD department, whatever. But I really think the video is not asking too much. What are your thoughts?
Totally agree. Totally, yeah. Complete. I'm surprised they didn't do that. I would have taken a few minutes before halftime, before the game began, and shown a few clips, a few highlights of his time here. And I don't think that's too much to ask. Now, some would say
look at the way the guy left the school. He left the school in disgrace, blah, blah, blah. Hey, here's the truth about all these guys. If you give somebody long enough of a tenure, they're going to leave your school on bad footing. They're going to leave your school on bad terms.
Right.
Either by their own, either by their actions or your actions. Somebody's going to have heat. Very few guys walk away on their own terms these days. I think I'm surprised. I'm very surprised they didn't do something for him. That's kind of I don't know what it is. It's I don't feel terribly strongly about it, but I don't think it's right. I think they should have done something for him.
Yeah, I mean they already fired the guy. I don't know what else they it wasn't asking much. I was really surprised at that. But anyhow, I think with Pearl, for me. And a lot of Vol Nation, I think we finally emotionally turned the corner. Like you said, it's a huge game. And for me, I'm finally 100% over it. And, I don't care if, I know Auburn's not very good, but I don't care if he ran out of junior heights. We needed this win, and that was huge. Two great coaches, and it was really nice to see that embrace at the end. That almost brought a tear to my eye. That was just beautiful seeing Donnie and Bruce there together at the end of the game, shaking hands, and even with, seeing Butch and Phillip there, we'll forget about all the coaches in between in basketball and football, but that was just beautiful there at the end. And I really think that we've caught Donnie in stride, the perfect time in his career when he's peaking. I think Bruce is still a great coach, but he might have, better days might be behind him. I'm not sure, but I just think that moving forward, I'm very happy with Donnie. Hopefully he stays and he's able to stay. But, it felt really good, and I was worried, just as you guys were, about this one. So we were down 5 at one point, but it felt really good just to get that win, and I finally turned the corner personally. I think a lot of the people in that arena today did as well.
I think it was a huge day for Donnie Tindall, I really do, and I think you're right, and I do appreciate your call, and you'll appreciate this. Mark Kenniger, a buddy of mine, just texted me, he's on his way home from the game. Trey up in Chi-Town. He said they did show, however, a Stephen Pearl highlight video. So you'll be pleased to know that.
Thank you,
brother. That's too much.
Hey, isn't it?
Thank you. Yes, go ahead.
If we were going to show a Pearl video there at the end, do you think we would have shown the in-game sequence from that game over at Charlotte his last year?
Back to our phones we go. You are vicious. And poor Stephen Pearl. I mean, the guy cried in the tunnel after the game today.
I cried when he used to shoot free throws.
I wish you people would leave him alone. Let's go back to the phones at 865-200-5402. Hey, Donnie Tindall's coaching was on full display today, Keith. He did some masterful stuff after some timeouts and a few of his inbound plays. I mean, those were Picasso's.
I don't know. Tennessee gets Armani Moore gets two layups off inbound plays that I thought were, that obviously in a game that was as tight as it was with 2 minutes to go, certainly very important.
Back to our phones we go if you want to get in. This is your smart way. Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime. Randy Dalton of the aforementioned Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. Keith just texted me a moment ago. He's listening. He wanted me to ask you, who do you think has the better material of those two teams, Auburn or Tennessee? Who has better players?
As a team, Tennessee, individually, Auburn. I mean, you got to look. Antoine Mason was either first or second in the country in scoring last year. K.C. Ross Miller was a starter on an NCAA tournament team. I mean, K.T. Harrell's an all-SEC player. Sinion Bowers was the number one junior college player in the country. They just don't fit well together because they got a bunch of guys that are the same player, essentially. They all got to have the ball. And I think that's what Bruce is struggling with, is it? I mean, they just don't fit well as a unit. But you break up Auburn's team. I'll put it this way. You make everybody on both those rosters free agents. Of the first 8 guys taken, probably at least 5, if not 6, are Auburn guys.
And by the way, a friend of mine who also goes on the site as Orange Throat at TonyBasilio.com said, Basilio, what are you talking about? We're trying to beat his ass. If he were retiring, you'd do a video. We're trying to beat him. He's an enemy today. What are you talking about, Tony? I'm doing his voice now. You're embarrassing yourself, is what he just told me. I'm sorry. I apologize, Orange Throat. The big guns are out.
Did Kentucky do a video for Patino?
Back to the phones we go.
I'm just asking. I mean, I legitimately don't know, Tony. I mean, I don't remember the
Vol Colonel in true inside baseball form, speaking of the blue bloods in this town, said if Larry Pratt would have had his way, BP would have had a video tribute. I bet he would have had a parade if he would have had his way down Gay Street today. Let's go back to the phones. By the way, a news sentinel today said Stephen Pearl was crying after today's game on his dad's shoulder after the game. No doubt, an extremely emotional moment for those guys coming back here. Let's go back to the phones. And I, for one, appreciate everything that Bruce Pearl did while he was here. And Donnie Tindall said the following. I would like to say how much I respect Coach Pearl. He has them playing like an upper-tier team with how tough they're playing. He said, we were relentless in our mentality, driving to the basket, getting to the foul line. We had some big defensive stops. Case in point, today, 13-minute mark, Josh Richardson is called on an offensive charge. Tennessee takes a timeout. He reams out Josh Richardson. And I was talking with an insider this week in practice who said that before the Arkansas game, Donnie Tindall went after Josh Richardson in practice and singled him out. He said, Josh, you're playing more minutes than anybody, but your play lately has been garbage.
Wow.
You have got to give us more than you've been giving us. And Josh Richardson responded this week to that. He responded to that. I was told coming into this game, Tindall has been very hard on Josh Richardson. He called that timeout and singled him out and pointed to him and said, you're out of control. Drive with the ball. Don't run people over. You can't start your move 50 feet out. By the way, before I go back, and I'll get our caller in here, Keith, I want to get your thoughts. I want you to think about this. I was told by a gentleman very familiar on the inside of college basketball and the way it works, he was surprised that for a game of this magnitude, that they sent a C-level crew in here officiating-wise, and I'll get your thoughts on that. Let's go to the phones. Hello and welcome. Yes, to our caller. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey.
Roberto, I hope you're having a great day.
Great day to you, my friend.
Well, I'll say this. The only reason I would have run a Bruce Pearl tribute is to throw him off his game a little bit. Get him a little weepy.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Auburn came out ready to kick our ass.
Yes, they did.
They came out ready to kick our ass. You should have seen them. Tony, I got there an hour before the game so I could watch all the warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
We looked totally off. We looked tight. We didn't look loose at all. And Auburn was out there like, we're going to steamroll these guys. They hit every shot in warm-ups. I swear they missed 10 shots out of 200. And I was like, I looked at my buddy that was with me. I was like, this game is going to be really ugly. I was like, I think they're going to beat us. But Donnie Tindall today did something for me I never thought anyone could do. He replaced Bruce Pearl as my coach. I mean, he flat out can coach those guys. He's got a lot of the Pearlism, but I think he's a little bit more professional, and I definitely think he's a better X's and O's coach. There's no, it's unequivocal. The best player on that court today is the Bowers kid, or KT Harrell. That's my opinion. But we just beat him. I mean, we should not have won that game. And there was a few things. I want to give you guys some observations from the stand. First of all, the chanting for the recruits, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I thought it was really cool that the students started that, not some, 30-some-odd adult like myself.
I love that. Dude, it's part of it.
Awesome.
Part of the process.
And Drew Richmond walked right past me, and
yep.
He's smiling from ear to ear. He threw up the Vol thing with his hand. I mean, like, I don't know if he's getting up here on Wednesday or not, but we sure as hell gave it our best. We had two full-court presses running today. the two teams on the court and Butch Jones on him. But he did not leave Butch Jones' side except for when Jones went into the student section, which was also a nice touch, I think.
A great touch, and on the chance, I love it. The Drew Richmond stuff, I love. The student body being alive is great.
Yeah,
it's what college sports are about. It's what it's supposed to be about. Seeing Philip Fulmer there is terrific. Mm-hmm. All
yeah,
that stuff.
Pleasure.
Great touch.
Orange pleasure.
Yeah, great touch all the way around. Great touch by everybody.
And, we respected Bruce Pearl for what he did. Me and my buddy, I wouldn't say we hooted and hollered, but I did applaud him. Let's not forget, guys. This guy moved Tennessee basketball forward
mm-hmm.
30 years
mm-hmm.
in six.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we made more NCAA tournaments in his first 4 years than we did, or as many, in the previous, 30? Is that about right? 25 years? Think about that for a minute. So, I mean, we were respectful, but at the same time, Donnie Kendall, I love that guy. He's so weird. Dude, it was like, you know what it was like, guys? It's like we took a big gulp, for lack of a better term. We took a big gulp, and we loaded it up with some Miralax, and we just cleansed our whole system of Bruce Pearl today. It was awesome. And the other thing I wanted to say, and nobody probably saw this, but it happened to happen right in front of me. Josh Dobbs, and I couldn't tell who the other guy was. It may have been Josh Malone. I could not tell. But they ran down, you know where the students stand, and they ran down, and they were trying to get out, and they were going to, pump up the crowd, and the security guards pushed them back. Come on. He's the second most noticeable person at the university next to freaking Butch.
He was what? He was shoved back by who?
He was Florida. He was trying to get on the car. It's obvious it's Josh Dobbs. I mean, it's freaking Josh.
Oh Dobbs. My gosh!
He was going freaking ballistic. The students were into it. There's about 2 minutes, maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. He was going to go down there and get everybody fired up, and they literally just told him to go back upstairs. It was the biggest pile of horse crap I've ever seen, and that's what's wrong with Tennessee right now. It wasn't about. If you guys know Josh Dobbs. And I think you do. His character is not about me, kid. He wanted to be there with his friends, firing.
That is
up.
How about this one? Well, how about this one? They went over, according to one of my sources, and they went over and told Lambert that if he didn't get off Stephen Pearl, they were throwing him out of the game, and he did not once cuss at Stephen Pearl.
Well, I believe it, but Stephen F. and Pearl probably said something to him. Am I right? So.
865-200-5402.
Lambert's just lucky apparently Jackie wasn't in the area.
And by the way, Billy Jarvis said, why didn't Jackie Pearl sing the national anthem, Tony, if you're going to have a video tribute? He said, this isn't Bruce Pearl Day. People are attacking me over that. Good. Hey, woo. Sorry. Me and Chi-Town, what was the guy in Chi-Town's name? I'm sorry, I'm bad with names. Trey? I'm bad at that. Tyndall on Butch Jones, moshing with the students. He's been unbelievable since I've been here. He's been very supportive of me. He said, we are Tennessee. Let's support the players. I think our fans have done a tremendous job of that. By the way, 865-200-5402. Keith, on the officiating, I thought those guys almost lost control of today's game. It came very close to them losing control of that one because you had two teams playing very hard, and it was getting a little chippy out there. Your thoughts?
Well, two of those guys rarely ever do a game. I mean, they're generally Southern Conference type guys, and we are app only right now, aren't we, Tony?
We are app only.
Okay, and I'll try to keep it reasonably family friendly. I mean, James Breeding gets a bunch of good assignments, but he is the ultimate horseshit official. He's terrible. He's utterly incompetent. He's arrogant. You know what he is? He's like Ted Valentine and Doug Shouse. Except he's a terrible official. I mean, Shouse and Valentine, for all of them, as much as I hate both of them, because they make the show about them, are pretty good when it comes to actually making calls. When they're not pulling out some esoteric thing from the back of the rule book to make everybody scratch their heads and think they're so smart. James Breeding is just a joke. He ruins about any game he does, and as soon as I saw him there today, I figured it would be a complete menagerie of awfulness, and it was.
Hatfield is officially going off right now. Good night. I step away to get a drink, and I leave the button. And Hatfield, the term is horse bleep. Let's go back to our phones and grab another call.
App only,
well,
Tony?
It is app only. It is app only.
Okay, I'm
now that
just
now that Vic is no longer with us, and Vic somewhere. Is currently pumping his fist at you, saying, you go, Hatfield. Let's go back to our phones.
Oh, he would have loved the game today.
865-200-5402. I love street fights. Today was a street fight. Both these coaches like street fights. Donnie Tyndall loves street fights. Donnie Tyndall has turned. We've said this many times, but I love it for those of you that have never heard this. My favorite thing he's done this year with this team is he's taken Richardson and turned him into an absolutely mean and nasty and cheap and dirty basketball player.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Kara Lawson was saying, when Reed got that technical? She said, yeah, but she said, Richardson's the one that started that. And by the time Reed committed the technical, he was a good 30 seconds out of the play. I mean, I love it. I love it.
So what happened was, Tony, Reed pushed Armani Moore. The referees broke that up, and we're talking, and we're standing between them, and then Richardson pushes Reed that they don't see, and then Reed pushes him back and gets the technical.
Back to the phones we go.
One thing, though, Tony, on the Butch Jones thing,
yes,
he looked as comfortable in the student section as Nixon did talking to the Vietnam protesters in front of the White House.
He looked so out of his element over there. He was like, how much longer do I have to sit here? Do you got your photos yet? Is we have enough video?
Get these kids off my
Get home. These kids off my It was so true. Back to our... I mean, some people have that. Some people don't. You don't have to ever worry about him showing up shirtless, supporting Holly at a game, painting his chest. I don't think that's going to be... Sergeant Carter, as we go back to the phones, and that nor is that his job. His job is to get ball players, and he's doing a great job of that right now. Let's go to the phones and get our next caller in here on your smart way. Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime, where there is one line available. If you want to get in at 865-200-5402, hello and welcome.
What's up, guys? How you doing today?
Hey, who's this?
This is Steven Jackson.
Oh, hey, Action Jackson. What's up, man?
I'm loving Hatfield today. He continues to arrive, dominate, humiliate, and repeat.
Your thoughts on the game, sir?
I thought, I'm disgusted with the Pearl Files. As a matter of fact, I detest three of the four prominent coaches in that arena today. If I'm Jay Jacobs, and I see Bruce Pearl doling out high fives to the UT student section, I'm firing him on the spot.
Why?
Because he's the head coach of Auburn now. He has nothing to do with Tennessee anymore.
Why would you fire him on the spot? What are you talking about?
When he was high-fiving the student section at Tennessee, when he's getting ready to play against them.
Oh, you mean if you're Jacobs? Yeah, I've always thought... Now, Pearl wants this job back, and he sees it as his job. He sees Donnie Tindall as just kind of keeping his seat warm. And there are a lot of people in town that have that that fantasy, because it is a fantasy, that somehow Bruce Pearl would be transported back here, and we're going to put the band back together. I think it's interesting that a guy that's a sitting head coach at Auburn would use a term at media day like I'm a VFL. If I were paying a guy that kind of money and he said something like that, I would walk him into my office and say, I better never let that hear that come out of your mouth ever again until you're retired. You're drawing a paycheck from my university and we're paying you the kind of money we're paying you to coach basketball. You're all about our university. So I kind of agree with you. That was a little strange for him to go over and high five the students. But Bruce, this is Bruce now. Bruce is a me guy. And that's who he is. I mean, it is what it is. He's a me guy. He's not an us guy. He's a me guy.
Did you get my email about Bruce?
Yes, I did. I haven't read it.
It was satire. It's satire, just to let you know ahead of time.
Okay.
I'm not a Bruce Pearl guy.
Oh, okay.
And shout out to Kevin Punter. Great game today, representing the Bronx well. You know who else is from the Bronx, Tony?
Only about probably 10 million people currently alive. Who else is from the Bronx?
Ace Frehley.
Well, of course. I mean, Ace Frehley. Of course I knew that's where you were going with it. You're probably...
Let's put on some Back to the New York in the New York groove, Tony.
I tell you what, I'll host, you'll decide, and you're out of here. 865-200-5402. Did I just stick a fork in him, in your opinion, Hatfield?
It happens. Looks like Florida is going to survive and save their season. It's been a goofy game.
Florida working on survival and advancement.
Yes.
Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. Bruce Pearl's now lost four games for the first time, four straight, rather, in his coaching career. He had a real, they had a real chance to win that game today. Florida, as you say, looks like they're getting ready to survive against Arkansas. Where is that game, Keith? Is that at Florida?
Yeah.
Okay. Back to our phones we go. And so Arkansas continues that mystifying inability to win on the road under Mike Anderson. How many NCAA tournament teams, Keith, will come out of this league before we go back to the phones?
I think when it's all said and done, four. But if you ask me who it is beyond Kentucky and LSU right now, I think it's anybody's guess.
865-200.
Texas A&M probably going to be one of them.
865-200.
Could get to five, maybe.
Could get to five?
Mm-hmm.
Who are your four right now?
I mean, I think Kentucky and LSU are obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I think Texas A&M is probably going to, given the way their schedule lays out, they're going to play their way in. And then you've got Arkansas, Florida, Tennessee. I mean, Ole Miss, they got hot, probably in that discussion. So, I mean, you've got, man, like I said, you've got two that are definitely going to make it. And Georgia, Georgia would be in now. So you've got three teams that would definitely be in if the tournament started tomorrow. So, and if you get one or two of those other four, you'll get one, at least one of those other four or five teams in. You might get two. I can't imagine a scenario under which the SEC gets six.
Tennessee's in that mix and in that hunt, though, for those one or two last slots, aren't they? Right now, they're in the mix very much.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Tennessee's not in any way out of it right now. I think they're certainly right there in the discussion. But, I mean, you look around. I mean, the Big 12 is probably going to get. I mean, they may get eight teams, Tony. I think it's going to be really hard to keep them from getting eight teams in. And other than TCU and Texas Tech, I mean, who in that league do you not put in the tournament?
Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. Tennessee Basketball Overtime. I'm Tony Basilio. He's Keith Hatfield. We're thrilled today. Tennessee with a win over Auburn. We talk about that victory. What it means, your thoughts. If you were in the arena today, I'd love to hear from you. Give me a thought on what you saw, the day that was, maybe a backstory or two if you have any. Give me some perspective on it, what it means to you. To the phones we go. Let's grab our next call. Hello and welcome.
Tony, to you and Keith, I apologize. I don't have any in-arena stories, but you're all so welcome that I chose not to attend today's game, and we got to win.
Yes, thank you, Bino. and by the way, stay away for the rest of the season. We don't want any.
Okay. Keith, I think surprised is a really poor description of what you would have been if they would have shown a Bruce Pearl tribute video.
Well, yeah, I can think of some other descriptives of what my emotion or my opinion of that would have been.
Tony, you know I'm a huge Pearl fan, but there is no way in the world they should have shown a Bruce Pearl tribute video before that basketball game. I think that's the one thing that would have been disrespectful to Donnie Tin, had you done that.
Really?
Give him an ovation. That's exactly what they should have done. I wouldn't have tried to help Auburn one bit over there today.
I think this is the opposite, though. I think it takes Auburn out of their element if you're over there celebrating their coach. I think it freaks those kids out. I think it freaks everybody out if you do that.
I think it takes the edge off of our fans.
Now, I thought the Bruce chant at the end of the game was a nice touch.
Yeah.
I thought that didn't bother me. I mean, not something I participated in, but that didn't. And I thought the ovation he got before the game was just fine. I'll put it this way. The Tennessee fans, I expected to be far more angry about our fans' reaction today than I ended up being. I'll put it that way.
Hey, the fans here appreciate Bruce, but they appreciate Donnie, and they want to win a basketball. I don't know about you guys. It's the first game since Kendall's been here that it was impossible for me to enjoy. And it was because it had nothing to do with Bruce. Well, it did have to do with Bruce, but not what you would think. I think it's the first time since Kendall's been here that he had a can't-lose basketball game.
Mm-hmm. The pressure was palpable, wasn't it, Bino?
Yeah, it was like you've been really good for a long time, and it's a team you need to beat, you have to beat. And you don't play extremely well. It was really hard to enjoy any port. It was, it's, I think it's just barely an overstatement to say it was almost a leave or lose town match.
I think you're right. I think it was a lose or leave town match, because I think you've already heard from our fan base at least three callers in our first hour say, Donnie Tindall won me as a fan today. You know what they would have been saying if he'd have lost this game? Yeah.
Why didn't we just set through a 3-year show cause?
You know, as emotional as it is, and which made the emotions made it maybe more critical in our minds than it really was, but I don't think you have to look any further to see what a good job Donnie Tindall's done. Keith, I think you're right. Maybe the pieces don't fit down there, but I believe that their team, their roster, is comparable, if not a little bit more talented than ours.
Mm-hmm.
He's won 3 conference basketball games, and Donnie Tindall's lost 3.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now, Tony and I have had this discussion. Now, far be it from me to ever be the guy defending Bruce, but he tried to do what Tark tried to do when he took over at Fresno. He just went out and said, who are the 4 or 5 best talents available? I mean, and when guys are available that time of year, there's usually a reason. I mean, Simeon Bowers is there instead of Florida State because Simeon Bowers got busted with a bunch of pot and ate it in front of a cop. I mean, let's be honest why those guys are there. K.C. Ross Miller's there because he got in a brawl at the end of a game last year at New Mexico State. Antoine Mason's there because, well, he just decided to bump up a level after scoring 25 points a game, taking 100 shots a night for Niagara. I mean, that's why Trayvon Reed's there, because he couldn't get in because Maryland decided he wasn't worth the trouble to admit to school after he punched a cop. I mean, that's what it is. And when you take those kind of gambles, you're going to end up with some guys that don't necessarily fit well together. And I think 10 and 11 with that bunch of knuckleheads is probably about as well as you can expect. And they had some injuries there. I mean, I'm not going to hammer on Bruce. I get to laugh a little bit because all the people around here who kept talking about he'd win 20 games if he got 5 guys out of a gym class. Oh, that doesn't appear to be the case.
No.
I think he's done about as well as you can with that group. But I agree with you, Beno. He's got better personnel, player by player, than Tennessee does right now.
He did a nice job.
Tindall's done better. Tindall's done better with what we have than Bruce has done with what he's got.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. To this point, there's no doubt about that. How do we have 13 wins? We're in a position to make the NCAA tournament right now, Beno.
I guess a better schedule than Auburn's played.
A much better schedule with a great non-conference resume, by the way.
Here's a couple of things that I am a little bit puzzled about.
Okay.
And I know one of them is because we don't have enough guys that can handle the ball. So maybe we don't trust running the shot clock a little bit. But at the end of halves and at the end of games, we have to do a much better job of understanding scoring situation.
Oh, yeah. The possession where Reese takes the quick 3, misses it, we rebound it, and then they throw it back to Josh, and he immediately shoots another one. Yeah, that was not their best, their greatest moment today.
Especially, Beno, where in that sequence, we had a chance to go up 8 or 9 points there at the half if we just worked the clock properly. And then we go in, and it's a very deflating only 4-point lead at half, and it's anybody's game.
If someone's not burying a 3 on us at the end of a half, it's us taking shots too quickly. I don't like the way that we close almost any first half. Or whatever. The other thing is, and I know they're all learning this zone defense, and it's tough, but we don't recognize the one guy that can beat us all the time. It seems like the other team's really good shooter gets too many open, and Auburn shot it much better than they should have or will for the rest of half to this point or will from this point on. But, I mean, you just can't let Harrell stand there and shoot the basketball.
No, and that's what we do. Yeah. That's the one bugaboo of this guy's defense is that you're going to get your shots. And it's frustrating, but you're going to get your shots.
Yeah, and Keith said it earlier, it's the wrong guy that gets them. It's, you know, that's the guy that you've got to get out there on and let somebody else take it like they let Reese take them for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was one play that really stuck in my mind where Hubs essentially ran K.C. Miller off a 3 and left Harrell wide open in the corner, and he hit it. I mean, if K.C. Ross Miller wants to shoot a 3, leave him as open as he wants to be.
compared to leaving KT Harrell open.
Two more quick things. We got one of the absolute must wins. We've got another one Tuesday. You've got to beat Mississippi State at home. Be 6-3 at the turn, because this last nine games is much tougher based on where we have to play and who we have to play than the first nine.
And I'm not so sure of the last nine if you win Tuesday. And you're sitting there, guys, and you're real comfortable, 6-3.